of being a Christian. Chapter 5 is our final one, the second coming, and how to motivate fellow Christians. And we'll go straight to verse 6. We'll go straight to verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, the Lord has deliberately not told us the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. That has been kept in the secret counsels of God. And he has warned us that he's going to come suddenly. And there's a reason for that. Because then we are to prepare every generation, every day we live. We are to be busy preparing. This is the motivation that the Lord has built into our Christian faith. And every generation has had this preached to them. You better be ready. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Today we're going to be reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on the great issues concerning the return of the Lord Jesus. In the book of 1, 2 Thessalonians, we have many references to the return of the Lord. Indeed, in each one of these chapters in both books, we have some declaration concerning the return of the Lord from glory. Let's read together. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so we end the first chapter in 1 Thessalonians. These converts in Thessalonica were marvelously converted from idolatry to become followers of the Lord Jesus, waiting for his return. And today we're turning to the message from the pulpit of our church on this very chapter, and I trust that God will minister to your heart through his word today. It's not just merely the titillating doctrine of the great day of Christ's return. It is all weaved into how we pray concerning the Lord's return. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. And as I say, this is Paul's prayer. This is his burden, that men and women will be found, as he says here, unblameable, living godly, living right, doing the right thing when the Lord returns. Now, if you analyze this prayer, you look at verse 12, you'll notice that there is a prayer here for unity, and that one Christian will be encouraging the other Christian. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men. See, when the Lord returns, he does not wish to find his church in disarray. He doesn't want to find his children quarreling. He doesn't want to find his church one putting down the other. But he wants to find Christians that love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when ye love one another. Those who may have been teachers, you will know what it is like when you leave the classroom. I remember being at school, and if the teacher had to leave the classroom for 10 minutes, well, it was like World War III broke out. And you would have erasers and pencils flying through the air at one another, and bedlam would be in the classroom during that time. And then suddenly, silence, the teacher came back into the room. Now, that must greatly annoy the heart of a teacher. I can't trust these students for 10 minutes. They don't get on with what they're supposed to be doing. I gave them some instructions before I left, and all they do is just fight with one another when I'm gone. Now, the Lord Jesus, when he returns, he wants to find his church in good order, Christians loving one another, exhorting, encouraging, and that love abounding. Can we say that in our congregation? Do you find that in the months or years that you've been attending the fellowship of this church, that the bonds of Christian love are growing, and that you are sharing the burdens and entering into the cares of God's people? That's the work of the church. And you'll notice that it's to increase more and more. And it's to abound in love one to another. And so the life of the church should never be static. There's always those introductory times when you get to know the people and get to know the ministry of the church and you find out what it's all about. But then there comes the time when you begin, it's like learning to swim. At first it's all hard work trying to keep above the water. And then when you learn to swim, it becomes that enjoyment that you can make good pace. I trust that you find that in the work of the church and in the life of the congregation. There should be that bonding. Now, in the sports world, it's called a huddle. And you can see all the players huddling together, and they're all in on the game, and they're planning their attack and their action and so on. You can see in the sports field the huddle. The world has its clubs, and of course people come together on certain issues and causes. The church has its fellowship, and real fellowship, koinonia, communication one with another, is the blessedness of church life. But then also you'll notice that Paul says, verse 12, and toward all men, toward all men. Do we care for men? When the Lord returns, he will look for a church that is burdened for souls. That soul that won't come to church. That soul that spends his life in the casino or the pub. That soul that's addicted to drugs and to alcohol and wrecking his body and his mind. Do we care? Do we have a love ministry to the lost soul and family and friends? That will be determined in the prayer meeting of the church. And we have to call it what it is. When Christians don't pray as a church, they don't care. And when the Lord Jesus comes, I trust that our prayer room will be full. And that's the pastoral, practical part of the Lord Jesus coming. Next Sunday, we're going to have communion. We're going to take those symbols of bread and cup, and we're going to display what is our communion with our Lord Jesus and God the Father. But we're also going to display our oneness as a congregation, our common faith and our common hope in the death of Christ, his resurrection, and his coming again. Do this till he come. And in that there ought to be the bonds of unity and fellowship as we unite together. And as we take that cup and that bread with one another,
There ought to be no resentment to a brother. There ought not to be a coldness in our hearts to our brothers and sisters. But there should be a spirit of encouragement, fellowship, gospel love, kindling our hearts. What poor images we would be of the Christ who gave his whole life to minister for the church if we cannot unite together in the bonds of Christian love. For somebody here today, it's time to get involved. It's time to get on your knees. It's time to come to prayer. It's time to worship with God's people at every opportunity. That when the Lord returns, you will be found communicating the gospel aright. Not watching television, not playing sports, not living for the world, but with your heart engaged and your whole life a witness. I'm waiting for the Son of God to return, and I want to be ready, doing the things that he calls me to do. Chapter 4, verse 13, and we come to the second coming and how to comfort one another as Christians. We have this great statement, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the message simply is this, that the body of a Christian in the grave will in no way be behind the person that's alive on the day when Jesus returns. The body that's in the grave in the cold earth returned to dust. On the resurrection day, there will be a great threefold awakening. We're told here that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's the shout of Christ, the Son of God. The same shout that brought Lazarus out of the tomb. And then there'll be the voice of the archangel. And then the trump. A threefold shout. And the dead that are in the earth will respond. There will be an awakening, a resurrection. They will be brought up out of the earth. And they will go ahead of those that are alive on the earth. They will meet the Lord in the air with priority. They will have priority travel on that day. And we Christians that are on the earth will then be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. What a great word of comfort this was to Christians, even in that first century in Paul's day, that had buried their family and friends, maybe a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, mother or father. What tears it brought. But Paul could say, do not sorrow as others sorrow who have no hope. Do not forget the doctrine of the resurrection. Do not forget the day when Christ will return. For these who are in the earth will be in no way behind, but rather they will take precedence. What a wonderful, wonderful comfort. It's a great thing then to be a Christian. And as one put it, if we are born once, we die twice. But if we're born twice, we will but die once. And we shall be with the Lord forever and ever. Now, do you believe this? Here's the question. Do we believe this? Is this how we go about our daily walk? When we read in the newspaper that list in the death column, and of someone whom we know that has left this world, and we ask, were they a Christian? Or were they a lost soul, a sinner, unredeemed, never washed in the blood of Jesus? It makes a difference, because the Christian is buried in hope and of the great and eternal day when that grave will open and that body shall return to the Lord. What a great hope we have as Christians today. And it's the message we need to tell the world. I remember a missionary to Muslims And he said the greatest witness we ever had to Muslim people was the funeral of a Christian. They stood around that grave that was freshly dug, and even as they lowered the corpse down into the earth, they had their hymnals and they sang the songs of redemption and the songs of resurrection. And there were Muslim people gathered around, and they were watching and observing how Christians bury their dead, because that would be the final test if they really believed what they preached. And it does matter if you really, really believe this doctrine. And even when death strikes, and it's a loved one who is in Christ, then we need not sorrow as other sorrow, but we take rejoicing in the hope, the confidence, that on that great day of reunion, when the roll is called up yonder, that they'll be there. What a hope that brings to the hurting heart, the bereaved, the sorrowing. And in this last year or two, this congregation has known a number of bereavements. And I want you to have that comfort and that assurance that this is our faith. This is the glorious truth of being a Christian. Chapter 5 is our final one, the second coming, and how to motivate fellow Christians. And we'll go straight to verse 6. We'll go straight to verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, the Lord has deliberately not told us the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. That has been kept in the secret counsels of God. And he has warned us that he's going to come suddenly. And there's a reason for that. Because then we are to prepare every generation, every day we live. We are to be busy preparing. This is the motivation that the Lord has built into our Christian faith. And every generation has had this preached to them. You better be ready. And of course, we need to be ready for the day the Lord calls us home just as much. Because the Lord may take us into eternity right away. And I'm thinking of the Reverend Kuldeep Gangar, who two weeks ago, he preached in the pulpit the Sunday before he died, that we're not to boast of the morrow. But if the Lord will, we'll do this and that. Tuesday, had the brain hemorrhage. Thursday, the Lord called him home. Didn't regain very slight consciousness just a few seconds before he died. That was his wife's testimony to me. But there was a man busy in the work of God, seeking to win souls to Christ. And the Lord called him home, watching, waiting. And this is the motivation that the Lord prescribes to us. Now Jesus, we're told, will come as a thief in the night. And the one thing you don't do, or the thief doesn't do, he doesn't announce ahead of time when he's coming. And that's why you lock the doors in your home every time you leave, because you do not know when that thief is going to come. You may keep that door open for a year and all's well, and then the thief comes. And so we lock the doors as much as we can. And in the Christian life, we do not know when Christ will come. And so we keep busy, watching, waiting, spending our time living for the Lord. There's one pointer that I would tremble at that tells me that the day of Christ's return is getting very near. And that is the gay and lesbian agenda. It's no longer just a little quiet party of sinners that want to have their own lifestyle. It's no longer just something that happens in certain parts of the world. But we have a wave of lobbying and political legislation now that is making this the accepted and the legal practice within country after country around this world. And surprisingly, it seems to be African Christians and leadership that's stemming the tide for a bit. But I know the pressure's going to build. And the Bible tells me that sodomy is that sin where God gives men up to their blinded deception. And he gives them over to their filthy practices. And as that, it is a revolution taking place, a social revolution taking place in our nations. and the church is coming under great pressure. That tells me the time is short, that soon the Lord may come, as it was in the days of Noah. A lot of things going on that seemed normal, but it was a building of sin and pleasure against God. And the wickedness of this world certainly warns us. It's time for the church to waken up. It's time to realize that the day of our redemption draweth nigh, and to be watching and working in the Lord's vineyard. I believe it's the will of God that when the Lord returns, that he wants to find his people busy working in his kingdom. Not slouching, not slumbering. The whole theme of 1 Thessalonians 5 is that we are a people of the day and not of the night. People at night sleep. People in the day work. And the Lord is saying that he will come and he wants to find us busy working. And I appeal to you today as the minister of this church, let us work together and pray together to make this church a bastion of truth and righteousness in this community. Let us make our witness shine for Jesus brighter than ever before. Let us be busier for God than ever before. Think on what we have to lose if we're not found watching. The Lord warned the churches in Laodicea that he would take away the lampstand and he would put out the light. But think of what you have to gain when the Lord returns and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And faithful is something that God rewards. Will you join me in this? I've given my whole life to the preaching of the gospel. I've sold my every ambition to be a preacher of this gospel. By God's grace, I seek to be at every meeting of this church. No matter what it is, I endeavor to be here. I want to be a man of prayer. I want to encourage God's people to pray. I want to be a fire lighter that will see other Christians burn for the Lord Jesus. I pray for a holy zeal that will not go out. And until my dying day or until Jesus comes or calls, that I will not lose this work, this burden, this motivation to serve our Lord Jesus. And those who don't get on board, we miss you. This church is poorer for your absence. This church weakens when God's people opt out and don't serve the Lord Christ. I trust that we can labor together in the days ahead. For some who are not yet baptized, will you go through with God in baptism? For some who are not members of the church, will you pray that God might lead you to that place where you can stand with us and serve with us in this church? Then there are some here not saved. It will bring no joy to my heart to see you die out of Christ. What am I going to say at your graveside? What am I going to tell your family? How shall I comfort them? Can I go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and say to them, "Sorrow not as others sorrow," when they know that you died without a Savior? It's time to be saved. May the Lord call you, save you today. And may this word in Thessalonians thrill your heart. God willing, next week we'll go to 2 Thessalonians, because there's references there too to the coming again of our Lord Jesus. Hymn 189 is our final hymn. 189, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over in the other shore." 189. Shall we stand to sing now?
thank you for joining with us here on the program today as we have brought this message from the book of Thessalonians, the book about the return and the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And I do recommend that you read the book, that you study it, that you learn the warnings that we need to be ready for that day when the Lord shall come in the clouds in bright glory. He will come to gather together the saints, but he will come to destroy the wicked by the brightness of his appearing. And so take heed today. And if I can be of personal help, make sure you be in touch. We have the announcements coming up now, and I hope that you'll stay tuned for them. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.